Hallelujah. It's so nice to see everybody's lovely smiling faces this morning. If you're a visitor with us, welcome. Church in the Falls is so glad to have you here. We are a very friendly bunch. Hopefully you've already figured that out. And if not, just give it time and you'll have a lot of people tell you how much they're glad you're here. And I want to echo that. So honored that you would come and spend time with us. We're a church that believes the Bible. We really believe that what God says to us in here is actually good for us. It makes our lives better. It's to our advantage. It is satisfying to the soul. And it's worth trying out. And so even if you're not so sure about God, check out the book. You'll be impressed. It's an insider trading to life, to say the least. Our theme this year is learning to dance to the beat of God's heart. We want to know what God's heart is all about. What is he thinking and feeling? What are his desires? And as we read the whole counsel of God from the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis all the way to the very end in Revelation, as we read through this whole thing, there's a lot of little nuances to God that we're discovering. And I hope that as you're reading that you have been very blessed by that. And to continue reading. If you're way back in like March's readings, just keep on reading. Don't stop. I know we're kind of coming to the end of this year, but it's so valuable. And I just want to ask you to just continue doing that in the January, February, March, until you finish the whole Bible. It will totally bless you. And it's an important thing that we do. Last week, we took on the book of Galatians. And I told you I wanted a two-parter because Galatians has two sides to its coin. And it's one of the really unique books because it's very short, and yet it's very powerful and potent. There's a lot of really great information in there. And way more than we could ever cover in 2 weeks. But last week, for a quick review, here's the 3 points you could take with you. Saved by grace only. God's grace is a promise. It has nothing to do with anything else. And that promise is only to Abraham and to his one seed, Jesus Christ. Remember, we had the umbrella over here. And it's only to Abraham and it's only to Jesus. So unless you're Abraham, the only shot we have at that promise is if we're connected with the one who receives it, Jesus. And we talked about how to get into Jesus. We are baptized into Jesus. We become part of his body, his hands and his feet. We become his bride. Very, very lots of analogies there. But the bottom line is Jesus receives that blessing. And we cannot be made right by law at all, no matter what we do. Because if that were true, then Jesus died in vain. Because that would be another way. And he said, if there's any other way, then don't make me do this. And lastly, Paul just full out says, there's no law. There is no law. Forget the law. Scrap the law. It's irrelevant. Don't even think about the law. It's only about Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so it raises another good question. And that's why I wanted to spend this week to talk about the other half. What good is the law? Clearly, it doesn't conflict with what God is doing. Both Romans and Galatians talk a lot about that. It's a good thing. But what's its purpose? I mean, if there's no law, then does that mean we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want? That's the American mindset, right? The only caveat the American's mindset is that as long as it doesn't offend someone else, everything's good. There's no law, there's no rules. We are free in America, right? And that's kind of the mantra. It's a great one, and it's very biblical at its core. But there's something that bothers me when I think about it that way. And I'm not sure exactly why that is. Maybe I'm just so rule-oriented because I grew up in a conservative-minded church that I just feel like I have to have rules. And what's that about? Maybe some of you experience that. Well, I want to challenge on two ways. One way, remember last week, there is no law. Paul is very clear about that, and we cannot miss that. But on the other hand, it raises another question. Well, what is the purpose of law and rules at all, ever? And I want to address that a little bit today. Anybody ever been on a diet? Go ahead, raise your hands. Because you know the next question is, are you still on it? And everybody's hands are going to come down. I got it. All right? Well, why would you go on a diet? Right? Try to lose weight? Okay, has anybody ever been in a workout routine? I'm going to go 3 days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 7:30 to... Anybody ever done anything like that? We know what that's like, right? Now, is there a mandate out there? Did God come down and say, you must go to the gym 3 times a day? Did anybody say that to you? If you're a kid, maybe your mom and dad said maybe. But typically, there are no rules with that, right? There's no law that says you must do this thing. Yet we impose these horrendous things on ourselves. Why would we do that? You want the outcome, don't you? You want to lose the weight? You want to gain the muscle? You want to somehow gain something strong? Let me ask, who in here brushed your teeth this morning? Everybody better raise your hand. That's what I'm talking about. Now, did you wake up this morning and say, you know what? God has given me a vision. I'm going to brush my teeth this morning. If that is the case, hallelujah. All right? I suspect, however, that most of you brush your teeth this morning because that's what you do every day. Now, did anybody come down to you and say, okay, this is how you must live, and if you, thou shalt not brush your teeth. Did anybody ever say that to you? But we do it. Why? What is the purpose of that rule in our life? You see where I'm going, right? There are rhythms. There are things that we impose on ourselves. And its purpose is still very good. But we are not bound by those laws by any standard or nature at all. In one way you could look at it is, when we follow routines and rhythms and structures and laws and things that force us into a behavior that we might otherwise not want, we're really trying to do what we believe to be best. Is that fair? I believe it's best that I brush my teeth. I believe that it's best that I lose some weight because I feel unhealthy. Yeah, I believe it's best that I, and you just fill in the blank. You know, that's the definition of love. Doing what's best. Ever thought about that? Interesting how the very definition of love is the reason why we do the very things we do that seem kind of crazy, because we are free from law. There are no rules, and yet we still follow them out of love. Now, that's just that little nuance. If you just hold on to that, you could chew on that for 10 years. Okay? The idea that we are free, but we still put things on us. Paul addresses that in Galatians 3:19. He says, why then was the law given? That's a good question, Paul. It was given alongside the promise. And here's the purpose. To show people their sins. What is that about? Why do we need to know about our sins? Valid question. And if it's alongside, I mean, the promise is still center. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and me being connected with him, and him receiving the promise, and I get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. That's the most important piece. But alongside that, Paul says, is something called the law. And we're not bound by it. It's on a different rail. It's a different train completely. But what it does is it helps us understand our sin. It's insight. It's knowledge about what's going on inside. Galatians 5:6 adds, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit of being circumcised or uncircumcised, which was the law issue of this book. There's no issue in there at all. There's no benefit. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. That's talking about our walk. That's the things that we do because that's what's best. And we impose rules to make what's best come about. And as we express that love in our walk, as we express that faith through our love, as we do the things that God has called us to, it involves a second set of rules. In this case, the law was one of those. Okay? Galatians 6:15 is another way to put it. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Transformed into a new creation. There's something important about our walk. So let me frame it this way. You can put all of this down into one idea. The law has nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with our walk. Our salvation has nothing to do with the law and the rules and the regulations. However, our walk, our desire to live the kind of life God designed for us, the beautiful life, the abundant life that Jesus talks about, that is deeply rooted in law and rules and regulations and structures. It's the same reason we go on diets and do the things we do, because there's a way that makes our lives better, and God desires that for us. Now, I want to caveat here. There is an element of sin that I think God just says, you should have done it like I told you to do it. I think there's an element there, because I know as a parent, I have that element with my kids. But I want to suggest to you that the majority, and that's a whole other discussion we don't have time for, the majority of all of our sin is rooted in God saying, that's not good for you. Just soak that in a minute. God is telling us not to punch ourselves. Because it hurts, he says. I know, but all the people are doing it. It looks like so much fun to punch myself. Think about it this way. Satan has been given the ability to lie. He is the father of all lies. So what Satan does is he comes in, and as you're trying to punch yourself, he's like, it's not going to hurt. And he's right for a minute, just like he was in the garden. There's an element of truth. And we go, whack! And it doesn't hurt at all. And 3 days later, we wake up and our face hurts. Why does my face hurt? It's probably because you punched yourself. No, it's probably not it. I must have slept on it funny. Satan says, you can punch yourself. It doesn't hurt. And we punch ourselves. And a few days later, we wake up. My face really hurts. You're probably because you punched yourself. No, it's not right. It's probably because I've had that heavy jacket on. It was pushing against my skin. Maybe it just rubbed it raw. And Satan just continues to lie. Because he's been able to put a delay from the pain of our sin to the actual experience of that pain. And what we've done. Now that is a brilliant strategy if you want people to do stupid things. Separate the consequence. So what Satan has done is he's come in and said, you can punch yourself, and before you know it, you've punched yourself 30 or 40 times. And you wake up a few days later and you've got a hangover because you punched yourself. And God said, I told you not to punch yourself. Thou shalt not punch thyself. But it's so much fun. Can you follow where I'm going? This is the nature of sin. Lots of times we think of it this way, going to the next slide, as a soul wound. I think that is so right. A soul injury is sin. But there's something that's a little bit more nuanced. You can hang on to that one, but the next one I think is even better. And that is self-injury. Sin is when we injure our soul and rip it to shreds because we have been lied to. And when Satan is able to trick us into those things, we break ourselves. And God stands on the side because he's given us that freedom. We are made in his image. And that is one of the designs of us, is that we have freedom. We're not stuck into some routines. All the animals follow various patterns that they're built into their DNA. We do not. We are free thinkers. We have the opportunity to rise above ourselves and to grow and to mature. God desires that even. And we're creative and we're flexible and we can do different things with different patterns. And we can punch ourselves if we want. God has given us that freedom. And every time we do, we sin, we self-injure, we soul rip, we break it apart. And a few days later, we wake up and we're like, what happened? And God said, I told you, don't do that. And I think Galatians is getting to that. What is the use of law? What is the use of all that? It has nothing to do with salvation. What it has to do with is how much do you want to punch yourself? That's what it has to do with. The law is a way of saying, I don't want to punch myself, so I'm going to build some rules in my life. And they're flexible because your rules don't apply to everybody else, okay? Your rules have to be, how do I not hurt myself? Because God has designed me for something better. Some things are pretty obvious. If you go in Galatians 5, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves, your self-injury nature. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. The two forces are constantly fighting each other. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, listen to this. The results are clear. I love that translation because it is right on target with what the Greek is saying. There's a product that comes from our sin. And notice what the product is. And he lists a bunch of sins. They're very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other self-injuries like these. As if to say the product of a self-injury is more self-injury. And all of them are not the way we've been designed to do. And we're free in Christ to do whatever we would like. But every time we do it, it breaks us. It destroys us. And there comes a point where we lead ourselves to death. We punch yourself enough, you're going to die from it. And that's dangerous. In some way, that mystically removes us from God. And I don't know how all that works, but that's what the book is talking about here. He said in a passage we read not too long ago, all things are permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. St. Paul, chapter 6, I believe it was. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation of the law of Moses. Galatians 5:18. There's a sense of these two things going on. And law has nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with our walk. And I mentioned that God is standing over on the side appealing. One of the interesting things I've really enjoyed about reading through the whole Bible, I hope you guys are picking up on this. The God of the Old Testament, who's all angry according to a lot of people in the world, it's just not true. All of Jesus' ideas about what love is all come from the Old Testament. Every last one of them. And you read even in a book like Ezekiel, which is one of our readings this week, this powerful prophetic watchman on the wall, these dynamics of God's bringing judgment on sin. That's the nasty God if ever there was. But listen to some of these words. I'm just going to read a few. Ezekiel 20. I gave them my decrees and my regulations so that they could find life. They wouldn't obey my regulations, even though obedience would have given them life. What's God's concern? Is it you didn't do what I asked you to, or is it your life? God wants to give you life. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die, says the Lord? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways, their self-injury, and live. Don't let them destroy you, he says. I don't want you to die, says the Sovereign Lord. So please turn back and live. Chapter 33, verse 11. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. And then he appeals, turn from your wickedness. O people of Israel, why should you die? Why should you punch yourself in the face over and over again? I have no pleasure in that. That is not what I designed you for. Now, do you hear an angry God in that? Or do you hear a father who is calling out for his children? This is where God is coming from. He has never not been coming from this place. He has designed us perfectly and wonderfully made. And we have gone and done things to punch ourselves over and over again. And he's like, what are you doing? That's not why I designed you. And the law got a little confusing in there and people got wrapped up in it. So he threw the law out. Forget the law. I want you to just follow the Spirit. The Spirit will lead you where you need to go. And you'll make all kinds of individual rules for yourself. And the Spirit will lead you there. And the Spirit will lead you through the Bible. The Spirit will lead you through other people, through your children, through your coworkers. You'll be amazed at what God will do through the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. You're free from law. But you don't want to punch yourself. So listen to the Spirit. That's the point of what Galatians is all about. We reap what we sow because punching yourself hurts. He even goes so far in chapter 6 to say that we need to help one another out. Check this out, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by sin, self-injury, you who are godly should gently and humbly. The reason why is because they're still in charge of their destiny, okay? They have to choose. So you gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into temptation yourself. Share with others their burdens. And in this way, you obey the law of Christ. That's a play on words. The law of Christ is love. It's doing what's best. Back to the beginning again. It's the self-imposed rules. But sometimes people are so lost over here, they go back to punching themselves. And we need to say, hey, brother, sister, don't punch yourself. Everybody say it with me. Don't punch yourself. That's a funny way to remember this, but I think it will stick. That hurts. Don't do that. I love you enough to tell you. The self-imposed, Spirit-led law, we read all through it. But like Galatians 6, 8, and 9, listen to this. Those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature, their self-injury nature, will harvest decay and death from their sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. See the life-death thing again. Let's not get tired of doing what is good, especially in the family of faith. And that is what God has called us to. I want to give you a golden ticket today. How do we keep up with this? This past week, I got to spend some time with an actor in Dallas who was teaching all of us ministers how to use our voice. And he had us doing these weird exercises. We lay on our back and say, and all this kind of stuff. We all look like idiots, right? And he was teaching us to float on our voice and to allow the natural part of our voice to come out. And it was a tip. And so I got to be one of the guinea pigs in a big class. And so I read a passage from John, and then I sat down and did the funny extra. And then I read another same passage from John again. And then I went to an emotional place and read the passage a third time. And what people commented on was how much bolder and how much stronger, how much clearer the voice was. I did nothing mentally. I just allowed my body to align itself the way it was intended to be. Well, there's some things like that in life that are little tricks. And there's one that is beautiful, and we're having it right into the season. And I want to set it up this way. Now, I'm going to pull a fast one on you, so just go ahead and forgive me. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to imagine raising your hand. Who in here is a Trump supporter? Imagine that raising your hand. Now, having imagined who in here is a Trump supporter, let me ask you this. According to Romans 13, who chose our president? According to Romans 13, does God want us to support our president? So in your mind, every one of you should have your hands up because the election's over. You follow with me. You see what I did there? I just kind of flipped it around. Let me share with you why this is so significant. The reason it's so easy to get stuck between what I didn't like and I really wanted and I'm frustrated by is because we're in a comparison mode. And when we get into comparison mode, Satan will twist that all around on us. Paul addresses it that way, and this is a tip that I want to give you today to take with you. Galatians 6, 4 and 5 says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourselves to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. What's brilliant about this is Paul is saying to us, if you will just be thankful and grateful for who you are and what God is doing in your life, and not compare yourself to everybody else. Remember, their rules are different from your rules, okay? Because you have different struggles and temptations. You might not eat meat, but Paul said he was glad to eat meat. Now, he wouldn't eat it if it was going to offend you, because we love each other. But at the end of the day, he's free to eat meat all he wants. And we have to go by our conscience. We have to let the Spirit lead. And we have to compare ourselves to ourselves with God and not to other people. That is called Thanksgiving. That is called appreciating where you're at and your position. We're heading into a whole season about Thanksgiving. And what I'd like to do is launch it off today. We have a couple of our members today. Brother Jim, go ahead and start walking up here. Who are going to share with us what they're thankful for. And I want to ask you to use on your list here. You got sermon notes, a big blank. I want you to start writing what you're thankful for. You can go ahead and start doing that now. And as Brother Jim shares what he's thankful for, hopefully it'll remind you of some stuff. When he's done, Gail Warfield is going to join him up here and add some things. But I want you to just be thinking about, what are you thankful for? What has God done in your life? What are you grateful for? Because as these things come about, that is a secret weapon to allowing God to lead you where he wants you to be. Brother Jim, go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Ready? Okay. I'm thankful this morning that Don and I are thankful this morning to be a part of a very loving and understanding congregation. And I want to tell you about that. In order for you to understand a little bit, I need to tell you about our background a little bit. We moved here to Cuyahoga Falls in 1966. And the first time we were here, we attended a congregation which was recommended by a friend of ours in Texas. He's a traveler and he knew a little bit about it. So we went there that morning, and what we heard was a very negative sermon. Pretty much a lot of things we believe is criticized. And at the end of the sermon, he said, well, here's the places you don't want to go. And his first on the list was, don't go to Cuyahoga Falls. Well, we said, okay, we'll find out where Cuyahoga Falls is. And that evening, we went to Cuyahoga Falls. So we loved it, and we stayed with it for all these years. And some of the people we met that night are still here. We met some people, and they took us home that night along with the preacher. And they convinced us that we needed to stay at a place called Studio City. And so we rented a place on the fourth floor of Studio City. They've been here ever since. We And we are still happy that the congregation is still advancing and learning to be loving and all inclusive, because the latest innovation we had was two services. We normally come to the first service, but the second service is great, and I'm really happy we're having. So thank you, David, for all you've done, and we're going in the right direction. So folks, stay with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead. Thank you, brother.
Let us pray. Just kidding. I've always wanted to say that so I can mark that off my bucket list. David asked me last Sunday, to do this today. So all week I've been thinking about this. And I put it on my computer, and every day or so I'd go back and I'd cross out stuff and add stuff. So this is what I ended up with. I'm thankful for God my Father, Jesus Christ my Savior, and the Holy Spirit that keeps trying to keep me on the straight and narrow. I'm thankful for my two children, their spouses, and my two grandbabies. I'm thankful for my two sisters, their families, my nieces and nephews, and my great nephews. Friends and support of this congregation that has gotten me through some rough times and some also very good times. I'm thankful for the United States of America, the military of this great country that keeps the laws and freedoms forever true. Technology of today that helps me keep in contact with my grandbabies. I never thought I would say that. You know, I'm of the baby boomers. And I just thought of this. Baby boomers are from 1942 to 1965. My mom and dad were baby boomers. I'm a baby boomer. Who would have thought? I'm thankful for my parents and grandparents who I will see one day in heaven. I'm thankful for my new job that I'll be starting this coming week. I know. Praise the Lord. I'm also thankful for the 5 months it took me to look for a new job. Being able to worship where and how I want. Being born in the United States of America, where a president can be elected and people can protest the outcome. Just a hint here, people. Somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. I'm also thankful to be able to stand here in front of you and let you know what I am thankful for. I could go on and on continuing to say what I am thankful for, and some of what is on my list will also be on your list, and some not. I'm thankful for that sameness and differences because God shows his uniqueness everywhere. I'm thankful for God's overwhelming, he is who he is. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for sharing. What a treat. It's easy to reflect when you hear people thinking about what they're thankful for. I'm telling you, this is a little caveat in life. And it's rich in Scripture. Right? It's all over the pages. When you understand that God has blessed you and you can be thankful for that, it is a secret weapon towards listening for the Spirit. Try it. Make a list and talk about those things with your family. This is the perfect season to do it. The more you're grateful, the more you're thankful, the more you're going to hear the Spirit leading you. I promise you that. And I think that's what Galatians is getting at, is saying that it's not about the law at all when it comes to our salvation. Jesus did that, death, burial, resurrection, that's it. However, the law has a lot to say about how we live, how we walk, and how joyful our walk is. It's blessing upon blessing, and that brings thanksgiving upon thanksgiving. And we begin to sense the leading of the Spirit, and the Spirit will take us to great places. The fruit of the Spirit is not a kumquat. A what? The fruit of the Spirit is not a kumquat. A what? If you want to be a kumquat, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit is love, and joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and get the last one, self-control. self-rules as led by the Spirit. That is the goal of our Christian walk, is to allow God to lead us by allowing us to lead ourselves while we follow the leading of His Spirit. It's a very special dynamic. But remember, if you punch yourself in the face, it's going to hurt. And God wants us not to do that. And that's what all those lists of sins are about. Don't do this. It will hurt you. And I will love you, forgive you, but it will hurt you. Don't do that. Do you want to live? Do you want to die? And that's the message. Pray with me. Father, we are so grateful and we are so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Lord, all of our lists must start with that one. Thank you so much for what you have done. We, the peons of this world that you've made, Lord, I'm so grateful that you care for us the way you do. The way you appeal to us, the way you love us, the way you weep over us and dance and sing with us when we do things the right way. When we live the life you've created for us, it takes great joy and pride as a father. Lord, we are humbled that the God of the universe would even know our name, much less the number of hairs on our head. Father, we are grateful and thankful for all these things. We're thankful for our country and for the people here. We're thankful for this church. We're thankful for just the rich amount of blessing we experience every day. Lord, I ask that you would allow us to lean into and embrace Thanksgiving over these next few weeks in such a way that it would put us in tune with your Spirit. You would put us in tune with the things that you've always said, that's not a good idea. Help us to hear those, Lord. Help us to be led gently in the right way. But not to be afraid of anything, because when we go with the Spirit, there's nothing we cannot do. Because there's great power in the leading. So, Father, we submit to your Spirit today. In thanksgiving, we praise you. And we ask you to lead us mightily. We promise to follow. In Jesus' name, if you agree, let the whole church say, amen. If you'd like to respond today in some way, I would invite you to do so. You can come forward or meet one of our shepherds in the back. But let's stand together and sing a song and join with us.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth.
Receive this blessing. May you embrace the Spirit as He guides you into self-control, and may you avoid self-injury by ignoring the lies of the devil. Go in power and go in peace. God bless.